Our scripture today is from the 28th chapter of the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. It's the story of Jacob and his dream. And of course, you have to know a little bit about Jacob. So a little quick refresher course. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham and Sarah, who of course were chosen by God, who were blessed to be a blessing, so that in Abraham and Sarah, all the families of the world might be blessed. Abraham and Sarah wait a long time for their child, of course, Isaac, to be born. Isaac and Rebekah have two children, twin sons, Esau and Jacob. Esau is the older, and in those days, the eldest child had the birthright, which meant the eldest child got everything, all of the inheritance, all of the privileges of being a son in that time. Now, Jacob, the younger son, who of course has nothing then except the right to live and be a part of the family, purchases the birthright from his brother, who's in a hungry mood. That's a whole other story. And then he tricks his father Isaac out of the blessing by disguising himself as his brother, and Isaac's eyesight is so bad that he falls for it. I never really understood how that could happen, but the older I get, the more I'm realizing how eyesight can go. And so Jacob's trickery is discovered, and his brother Esau is, of course, angry and reportedly out to kill him. And so Jacob does indeed run away from home. He's fleeing home, which reminds us that sometimes the family values we read about in the Bible are not the ones you want in your family. So as Jacob is now fleeing from the wrath of his brother, we read this story in the 28th chapter of Genesis. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and stayed there for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place. And he dreamed there was a ladder set up on the earth, the top of it reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And the Lord stood beside him and said, "I am the Lord, the God of Abraham your father and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie I will give to you and to your offspring. And your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed in you and in your offspring. Know that I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So Jacob rose early in the morning, and he took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up for a pillar, and he poured oil on it. And he called that place Bethel, which means house of God. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A barren, deserted place. The light disappearing in the west. A man walks alone, a dark shadow against the desolate landscape. It's Jacob fleeing for his life from the brother that he has cheated and tricked and despised. Despite the fact that he's stolen the birthright and the blessing from his brother, Jacob now has only the clothes on his back and whatever possessions he can carry. In the gathering darkness, he searches for a place to sleep. And in the wilderness, one place is as good as another. He's made his bed, and now it's time for him to lie in it. He lays his cloak in the dust for what little protection it will give him from the hard earth. He clings to a blanket for warmth, and for a pillow, he chooses a stone. A stone. Could he not roll up an extra robe for a pillow? Could he not find some rushes from a stream on which to lay his head? No. No, a stone will do for someone who lives a hard life. A stone will do for someone who knows the taste of guilt. One wonders how Jacob ever got to sleep. A lively, perhaps even crowded place. Light everywhere, if not sunlight, then mall lights or porch lights or the glow of the television screen. It's the world you live in. Yet sometimes your world seems just as dark, just as barren, just as lonely as the wilderness that surrounded our friend Jacob. You, a modern-day Jacob, walk through this wilderness every day. Of course, you have more possessions than you can carry, probably. You have more than a cloak and a blanket to protect you from the elements. Your pillow is made of goose down or some synthetic stuff for filler. But you, like Jacob, may have a hard life. You may have to survive in a workplace where your job depends on how many people you walk over. Or perhaps you're one of the people who gets stepped on. You may have to survive in a home where your energy is constantly drained by tiny voices that always need you to pour the milk, read the story, kiss the ouchie. You may have to survive in a school where it's not cool to let on that you don't always feel good about yourself, or maybe where a bully calls you by name, or where the pressure to succeed is invisible but overwhelming. You may have to survive in a world that doesn't know that your heart is broken, that doesn't know anything about the burdens of your past. You may have to survive in search of a forgiving word for whatever guilt you're carrying with you. Like Jacob, you too may face the world alone. Alone, even though you're surrounded by people. Even if you feel the love of those around you, there are still moments of aloneness in this life. Because you're the one that has to take the test. You're the one who's concerned about your job. You're the one who needs to confront your sister. You're the one who needs to go on living after your mother is gone. And like Jacob, you too may know the taste of guilt. Words that it's too late now to say, or those you wish you'd never said. Things in your past you wouldn't want your children to know. It's hard to sleep sometimes, isn't it, Jacob? Sometimes the worry and the fear of it make it seem as though your pillow is a stone. Back in the Bible, something's happening. Something in Jacob's sleep, something in his head, something in his dreams. He sees a stairway, a ramp, perhaps, going from the earth all the way up into heaven, and God's messengers, the angels, are going up and down, and they have news for Jacob. News that God actually delivers in person right to Jacob's face. But first, God introduces himself. It's sort of sweet, really, as if Jacob wouldn't know who it is. I'm the Lord your God. It's me, Jacob. Though Jacob's surely known of this God of his parents, this God of his grandparents, he's known about the God of Abraham and Sarah. He's heard the stories. He's heard Isaac talk about it. But apparently this is the first time that they've become acquainted. And then God continues, "You belong to me, Jacob. I know who you are. I know what you've done. I know where you have been. But you belong to me, and I have plans for you." What plans I have for you, Jacob, but not just for you, for all the families of the earth who will all be blessed in your name. What a life you will lead. I know you're alone, Jacob. I know you're afraid. I know you're filled with guilt. I know that you've chosen a rock for a pillow. Such a hard life you're having. But fear not, Jacob, for I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will not leave you until all that I've spoken to you is fulfilled in your life. Count on me, Jacob. Trust me. And Jacob wakes up, filled with awe, with wonder. Surely the Lord is in this place, he says, and I did not know it. Of course, that had been true all of his life. Jacob was a child of the promise. Wherever he went, the Lord was in that place, but he never knew it. He'd heard his grandparents talk about it. He heard them tell the stories. He'd heard Rebekah and Isaac, his parents, say grace at the dinner table, but he didn't know it. He'd never understood. He never understood until he woke up from that beautiful dream. And then he knew. He knew not just in his mind, not just the stories he'd heard, but he knew in his skin and in his bones and in his heart. He knew that he belonged to God. Like Jacob, you are a child of the promise. You are a child of the promise. You have been baptized. You belong to God. At least so you've been told. So you've heard. But you are a modern day Jacob, and you look out on a wilderness of a world that at times seems so hard and so lonely and so full of guilt. Can you hear a voice? Can you hear the same voice that spoke to Jacob speaking to you? The Lord is in your place. Though you may not know it, the Lord is in your place. Years ago, I heard an interview with Maya Angelou, the African-American writer and poet. Not long after she gave the poem at the inauguration of President Clinton in 1993, she was asked if that was her proudest moment, her greatest honor, to rise from the poverty and prejudice of her youth to speak at a presidential inauguration. And here's what she said, "I mean no disrespect. For it truly was a great honor, but no, that was not the greatest moment of my life." The interviewer naturally pressed her to elaborate. And so she told the story from years before when she, a young black woman who had survived an abusive childhood, a young black woman trying to make it in a white world, was taking voice lessons from a teacher who had a number of outstanding white students. And on Sunday afternoons, there being less to do in those days than there is today, the teacher and his students would gather and read from the Bible. And one Sunday afternoon, the teacher had Maya read the words, "God loves me," and she read them, "God loves me," and he stopped her, and he said, "Read it again." And so she did, "God loves me." And he stopped her. "Read them again." Now she was getting embarrassed. "God loves me." Stopped her again. "Now read it one more time," he said. "And know it." And her eyes filled with tears as she remembered the story. Later, she described the moment to David Frost. She said, "The idea that this creation, the Creator, loves me Me, not me generically, but me, Maya Angelou. It's almost more than I can comprehend. It fills me, it enters me and makes me inflate like a balloon. It's the most amazing thing. I can't know it too frequently. I can't know it completely. My heart might burst. My veins might boil up and my blood might boil up in my veins. Like Jacob, she finally saw herself as a child of the promise. She finally saw that ladder that descends down from heaven into the life of each and every one of God's children, into your life. When you know that you're a child of the promise, when you know that God loves you, when you know that the Lord is in your place, then the wilderness is not quite so lonely. It's not quite so desolate. It's not quite so fearful. Your value no longer depends on what you produce at work. You have a new source of energy for dealing with those tiny voices at home, those critical voices at school, those inner voices of doubt. You feel connected to a power that's greater than your own in those lonely moments of testing, of decision, of grief. You're no longer blocked by a past you cannot change, but instead open to the new future that God always has for His children. I cannot, of course, give you a dream. I can only give you the good news according to Jacob, the good news according to Maya, the good news according to Jesus, that you are a child of God, that God loves you with a fierce love, and that wherever you go in this wilderness of a world, the Lord is in your place. Know it. Know it. Know it. Pray with me. In Christ's name, amen.